Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest, Corinne Rayson. She is the owner of The Crew Coach and host of The Wellbeing Project right here on YAR. How are you?
I'm super. Thanks, Rhea. How are you doing?
Good. Well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you. I'm not sure if we've ever done an interview. Maybe way back in the beginning.
Yeah. You've done one of my, one, The Wellbeing Project, where you were extremely vulnerable and spoke about your mental health experiences. And this is what we need to see in our industry. We are hiding behind a facade for, I think, for some very valid reasons. The fear that you would be judged. You may not get a job. You may not be supported. And on the flip side, however, I know there's people like yourself and so many in the industry who do want to help and do want to support and make a difference. But what I'm finding is that crew are too scared to speak up for the reasons I've just mentioned. So I'm hoping by having these conversations and to continue the conversation that more crew will speak up, because then we've got something to work with. We need to build a strong case here. So at the moment, how I feel is that it's all falling on deaf ears because there's the occasional incident and more recently a very, very serious incident, and we can't undo what has happened here. We've lost a life.
Do you find that the industry sort of jumps on that bandwagon when it comes to mental health? When something like this happens in the industry, all of a sudden, everyone, every business within yachting is saying, we're here for you. Just reach out. Let's talk. And then it dies away and it's gone again and no changes are made.
Yes, certain companies, absolutely. I think the biggest thing in terms of building trust actually is consistency. So sharing the message, whether there is an incident or crisis or not, providing the resources, providing a safe platform where people can talk and share and ask for help. The virtue signaling is a big one, to put a brand associated with your name, saying that you're doing the right thing, but seriously, what is happening behind closed doors? And I personally know what's happening behind those doors because crew are telling me. So this is where we need to draw a line in the sand. And we all know about this Facebook group, Name and Shame, but I think we need to keep people accountable. I'm not too sure why people don't want to do that.
Do you think perhaps it's difficult for them? Because if they come forward with their mental illness and they admit to having issues, maybe perhaps they're taking a medication, then they're fired. So there is no sort of incentive. There's no safe space. There's, you know, ability for them to just come forward and say, I'm suffering. Because if they do that, is there really going to be help or will they just get fired?
It all comes from the top. It all comes from leadership. So if you have no understanding what depression is and what that looks like and how to manage it, then that can present as a massive risk. You can add more trauma to the person who is suffering from a mental health issue. I mean, that looks like not supporting someone or saying the wrong thing, like we don't accept people like you or you're fired. You can have a mental health issue and still make a positive contribution. You can still be productive. So long as you've got the support structures in place, you can achieve that.
Do you think there is a way we can move forward within the yachting industry and put together some sort of support structure as a whole?
Yes. I'd like to see MCA and perhaps other maritime bodies, first of all, to have a meeting and really unpack this. Because in the MLC, it says that you can't blacklist people. What happens in a land-based organization if someone commits assault? or if there's bullying.
There's serious repercussions.
And some of those involve criminal offenses.
Yeah.
And you've just recently done an interview where a captain committed assault numerous occasions. And we discussed that the likelihood of him getting another job is high. How is this possible? How can this be happening?
Well, him getting hired is another issue. A simple Google search would have found that this man was a problem. A simple Google search. So whatever yacht management company hired him, they're not doing their job, period. And for me, the more that I talk to a lot of people, the more I see sort of this issue where yacht management is firing people on board. If you are a victim of bullying, a victim of harassment, a victim of anything on board, they do nothing. But they're not even doing the first step of that job in checking their references, checking their credentials, and making sure they're not putting a criminal on board.
So again, that comes down to lack of education and training. I know years ago, they felt inundated with the amount of reports coming through regarding crew grievances, and it was detracting from their primary roles, and they don't know how to deal with it, so they palm it off or shove it under the carpet, which is only going to breed more issues. And now they've got a reputation, and crew simply don't trust them. So now who do they go to for help? Who's going to do something about this? You trust that the authorities will, like management companies or the captains, and they're not all bad. I'm not saying that. But there are some whose names keep coming up, and I find that shocking. And even with the recent loss of life, I mentioned on the live that not a single, I want to refer them as institutions, have approached me to say, yes, he was under our management and we need help. We don't know what to do. Or what can we do moving forward? How can we, this is a problem. We cannot believe that this happened under our management. Nothing. Why?
Is it possible that once they placed crew, there's no money in it for them? There's no money in the grievances. There's no money in dealing with the crew that have issues. There's only money in the placement.
There's money in the fact that you can increase, when you take care of the crew, you'll increase productivity. You'll increase engagement. You'll increase morale. You'll increase job satisfaction, which then overall adds value to the vessel. And naturally adds value to the guest experience. However, let's hope that they don't think this way, but some companies, yacht management companies, have a recruitment company as well. So for them, it's quite lucrative. It's another placement. But I'm making an assumption here. I'm just trying to work it out like you are, because I'm baffled.
Yeah, I've said this before. There seems to have been in the past 15 or 20 years an ever-growing sort of chasm between owners and crew, because middle management has got so thick and heavy. And it's like crew, who are probably, arguably, the most important to the industry and the most important to the owner, have been tossed aside as if they're worthless. Right. They're not human beings anymore. They're just something that is really easily replaceable if need be.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how people can live with that, because as human beings, we all have a duty of care. Yeah. I'm fascinated by human behavior. I find it really interesting.
Since I started Yachting International Radio 4 years ago, I have been covering these kind of things from the inception. Mm. And it is still the very same. And actually, I think when I started that very year, there had been two suicides of crew that year. And, you know, all of the coverage are all mental health. We're here for you, et cetera, et cetera. And these same discussions keep coming up over and over and over again. And nothing changes until the next time. I know. It's frustrating for me.
Oh, absolutely. I find it extreme. I feel sad. I feel angry. And yeah, I want to get to the bottom of this. And I think together as a community, we will. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. But we do have to come together. And we do, like, what the initiative with the Yachting International Radio, we're creating a safe platform to speak about these issues is vital. Because that's going to help people not feel alone and go, oh my gosh, that happened to me too. If people who are victims of abuse are sitting there with shame and guilt. And that those two are the most difficult emotions to process.
It's one thing to get the word out there and make people feel comfortable with the fact that those feelings that they're having, those experiences they've had are mirrored elsewhere. Mm. That's just step one in the process, though. There's got to be a step two and a conclusion. And it just seems like we're not getting to step two or the conclusion.
I think there needs to be a neutral party that operates as a, and I thought about this a couple of years ago, but essentially it operates as a virtual HR. So any report of abuse, harassment, is processed by this organization, and then they investigate and see what the issues are. And then the perpetrator or those who have conducted themselves unprofessionally, then there's a penalty.
So legal ramifications or financial ramifications that are looked upon within the yachting industry, because what happens too is that a lot of these instances mm-hmm. and issues, we're talking about crew from the States, a crew from Australia, a crew from New Zealand, the crew, the perpetrator is from another jurisdiction. The yacht is under a certain flag. Maybe it happened in international waters. So legally speaking, it's almost like a swamp. Where do you take it? So to have an organization like this that is set up, that can professionally say, this is where we take it with lawyers, the work, but trying to find someone who will fund that.
I'm interested to know, do you think the ultra high net worth individuals coming through are interested in these problems or not interested and they don't want to know about it? Are they aware of it or unaware of it? I know some of the culprits are guests and owners, but yeah, just from a general perspective.
I think on a whole, as the new ultra high net worth individual generation is shifting, family money is being passed down, yachts are being passed down, a new breed of ultra high net worth individuals that are in their 20s and 30s, they care. Because that is the generation, but they're not being told. They're not finding out about it because no one's telling them about it. It's not beneficial for everybody in the middle to.
No, because they want the paycheck at the end of the day. So maybe that's another strategy or solution moving forward is speaking up at these events.
Yeah.
Well, I know Marguerite's done a great job of that.
Yeah, but the owners aren't at these events. That's the thing. Every bit of marketing within the industry is people marketing to each other. I mean, you can talk on every stage around the world, and it's the exact same panelists, the exact same faces on every stage at every event. You're not reaching owners there.
So we'll have to think of another way. So no. Or even if it gets them involved in the conversation, like if you have good rapport as a captain with the owner, invite them to be part of the discussion. Let's hear it from them because they have influence.
Yes.
So taking those steps.
I think there is a need for that communication from the bottom layer, as it were, right to the very top layer.
Mm.
Because there is none of that anymore.
Yeah. But have you noticed in 4 years any positive changes?
I think that people are more willing with the things like Yanni's name and shame. Mm-hmm. I think people are now more willing, crew are now more willing to say, look, we got to protect each other. We got to talk about these people that are a detriment in the industry and harming others or not paying or whatever, but they're still having to be very, very secretive. So I think that's what is really sad to say is that is the only step forward, is that crew finally gave up. They gave up on anyone else, so they've taken it upon themselves.
And what I've noticed is that they are certainly speaking up more.
Yes.
Or you wouldn't hear a peep about this, but they're having the courage to speak up, which is amazing. It's exactly what we need.
But them speaking up, to a certain extent, yes, it will. And it's fairly secretive still as well. There's different groups, there's WhatsApp groups, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to be part of the industry to know this. So what happens is that when these new crew come in, they're not aware of all these things. They're coming into an industry after having been sold the industry by a school that charged them 10 or 15,000 euros to get into the industry. So all they're painting is that pretty beautiful picture of riding off into the sunset, traveling all over the world and getting paid for it. And it's not really that reality.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is another point that we're all discussing, and that is making mental health first aid training mandatory as part of your SCCW 95 so that you're equipped to deal with these issues.
Yeah. But, you know, even if you do that, if you're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean on a big yacht and you have somebody who is a rapist on board, or you have somebody that is bullying you on board, does that help solve the problem? If they know that even if you have that mental health first aid training, what are the repercussions for that person on board?
No, they need to call someone. I had a situation with someone, a crew member messaged me in Gibraltar, and it went into your Facebook inbox that you don't see because it's a contact that you don't have as a friend. So I only saw it a week later, and she was in a very dangerous situation where the captain was abusing her, slammed the door on her arm. She was frightened. She wasn't given access to internet. And I called the Australian Maritime Authorities. I knew she was on her way to Fiji to see if they could help. And because she was an Australian, they couldn't. But if she was in Australian waters, then they could intervene. But only when she got to the destination.
And that's I think, the issue that comes across all the time is, like you said, depending on the waters, where are they? That's why there needs to be something specifically maritime that either can strip someone of their captain's license or strip someone of their STCW, saying that they can never get work again.
But why is that so hard to do? I don't get it.
Because there's too much money to be made. That's really all it comes down to. If you as a school can keep pushing these people through, if you can keep taking crew off and putting new crew on, there's just too much money to be made to have to address these issues.
I mean, it's the only option if we want a cleaner industry, and we boast about a 7-star industry. Like, really? You call that a 7-star industry? Oh. Yeah.
If they actually took, I believe that if the industry actually took the amount of money that they invest in trying to make the industry appear wonderful and invested that into their crew and into their mental health and into just human resources, period, you would have an industry that you wouldn't have to pay money to advertise as being a good industry. It just would be.
And I knew when I first started yachting, it was, I felt proud being a yacht crew member and part of this luxury industry. But from day dot, I was exposed to poor leadership. I mean, my captain paid me cash in hand in his cabin, and he said, next time wear a shorter skirt. And I was young, naive, I wouldn't say boo to anyone. I was shitting myself.
Yeah, and that's an issue. It's an issue. You can't get away with that. You shouldn't get away with it. And so many other industries around the world, if you're a land-based industry, if somebody did that, they'd go to jail, for heaven's sakes. So because yachting, there's no consequences, where do you think all these people are that can't get away with that behavior on land anymore? Where do you think they're going? They're going to come to the one industry left that they can get away with the way they behave. So it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. And this, yeah, we need to intervene fast.
Yeah.
I would like that MLC to be revised. Especially the point on blacklisting. If we can organize a meeting with them to discuss how it serves the industry and how it doesn't serve the industry, then maybe we'll have something substantial to work with that could, where we could make those changes. But I don't know where they are. They're communicating. They're not reaching out.
Yeah, I really think it just comes down to money. You see it in land as well. If we're talking about the poorer neighborhoods and law enforcement and somebody gets killed in an inner city somewhere, well, there's not a lot of work put into that. So the crimes never get solved. It just kind of goes away. And it's the same in yachting. If, for example, a yacht is driven by a captain and something goes wrong on the bridge, we've seen some of those accidents over the past couple of years. Oh, my God, everyone's talking about it. Everyone, you know, it's a big deal. Let's look into it. What's going on?
Yeah.
But if it comes to a crew member, it just...
And this is why I want to do an investigation. I want to know from the beginning what happened and what didn't happen. And it's not to get you into trouble. It's looking at solutions so we can protect, preserve life. And that's what safety is about. Whether it's physical safety, psychological safety, we're all trying to achieve the same goal here.
Yeah. Well, I think until the owners are made aware and that you have a few owners that do come on board and want to be part of that process.
They are. Yes, they are. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe that's what I can do as well, is just reach out to clients who work for great owners and see if they'd be open to talking.
Because that will be the voice that somebody listens to. It's a shame, but it's the truth. If the top end of the industry starts making noises about the way crew are treated and their mental health and everything else that goes on with crew, everyone in the middle will have to listen.
Yeah. Here we go. What a great discussion. We've coming up with some more solutions here, Ria. Didn't think of that one.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I do this 18 hours a day, and I'm always trying to think of solutions and ways to make those changes. And because without revealing how old I am, I have a 27-year-old daughter. And just imagining her in an industry like that with absolutely no backup. I mean, and that's what's happening. We've got 18, 19, 20-year-olds coming into the industry. And like you were when you first started. So I do. You're afraid to speak out. This is your captain in the cabin handing you money, telling you to wear a shorter skirt next time.
No.
You're scared. this is your first big foray into the world. And what do you say? No one's going to believe you. This is the captain. So it needs to change because these kids, and I say kids, and I know a lot of 19, 20 year olds out there say, I'm not a kid. But they are. And they deserve to get into yachting and make it a career and spend until they're 65 or whenever while feeling safe in their chosen line of work.
It's a basic human right.
Yes. Yes. It's a basic human right. And it needs to be addressed because crew are people. They're not just specks of dust that you can slick off whenever they're not quite convenient.
No. And, you know, having these discussions is certainly a start. I don't want crew to feel that they have to be passive in this process. I want them to know that they can reach out to us. Like, reach out to yourself and say, we need to talk about X and Y and Z. This is happening that you don't know about. Rhea, please, can you address this story? Or Corrine, I'm experiencing extreme anxiety or feeling really low. I don't know what to do. Can you help? I'm very open to receiving messages and giving help where I can.
Well, it might be an idea that we set up a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, that's another good idea, yeah.
A WhatsApp group that I'm on, you're on, and any other industry leaders that are passionate about it equally. And crew can access that WhatsApp. And between us, maybe it's mental health issues, then you can respond. Maybe it's a story that needs to be told in order for changes to be made, then I can handle that. If, you know, just a way to at least do what nobody else is doing in the industry.
How many crew are in the industry? Do you know the figure at the moment?
No, I haven't. I mean, we launched a lot after pandemic. There was a big exit of crew.
And in these WhatsApp groups, how many would you say are in them? Like the one you're involved in recently, like it's a few hundred.
No, the one I'm involved in recently, I think it's up to about 70 now. But if at some stage it gets too big, then what we can do is go to a company and say, do you want to be the change maker that's needed? Let's set up a website. Will you pay for it?
And then again, going back to yacht owners and philanthropy, that might be a passion project for them that they could invest in.
Which would be much more preferable. Because then it's not political. Because any time that you do anything and you attach a company name to it, you have to sort of abide by their rules. That's why media is best sort of left alone. You see big media in the U.S., for example, all of a sudden the Republican. So every story is with that slant or whatever. So to have somebody who is just willing to fund this, not a company, then there is no political affiliation. There is no worry about saying the wrong thing. There is no worry about doing the wrong thing, but just helping purely without any political consequences whatsoever.
Yes. Yes. Well, let's action that. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, I'm with you because it needs to change. How many of these stories am I going to tell? How many interviews like this am I going to do? There shouldn't be a need. It'd be lovely to have happy, smiley stories every single day, but that's just not the way it works right now.
No. Well, yeah, I've written two action points here, so don't forget, so we can get the ball rolling. I think even connecting with crew who are just doing their basic certifications to get into the industry, I can certainly run free workshops with the training companies to tell them what to expect and worst case scenarios, how do you manage that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame that we're having and crew are having to put this together and be the ones that do it. But I think that's where we are. And I don't think that's going to change. So we can do what we can do and take these ideas and move them forward. And hopefully we'll have a conversation, same time, same place next year with a win on our hands.
Yes, I'd love that. Love that area.
Well, Preen, I have to say thank you very much for your time. And hopefully we've had a discussion where we can move forward and make some changes on our own.
Thanks so much, Tria. And I hope that people thank you for what you're doing, because this is life-changing, providing a voice for crew and giving them the resources through all these amazing shows you have available. I think this is going to make a huge, huge impact, because the voice can become so much louder and spread so much further.
So thank you. If you have any suggestions or if you want to reach out, as Preen said, please do send us an email, preferably, because as Preen said, some things get lost in Facebook land. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I've been your host. We'll see you again next time.